The In This League Podcast Network. In this ring, in this corner, Joe Pisapia. This corner, Tim Heaney. Gentlemen, let's go.
Welcome to In This Ring, the greatest wrestling podcast in the history of the universe. It's me, and it's my tag team partner, Tim Heaney, and it's you, and we are recapping the first of many Wednesday Night Wars. AEW, was it Dynamite? I don't know. It was kind of a small explosion, if anything, but NXT was pretty good. We're going to recap Raw, too, and look ahead to SmackDown Live on Friday night. Tim Heaney, how's your top hat hanging today after a very busy Wednesday in wrestling?
I couldn't hang enough quickly enough. I was exhausted. I know this might sound spoiled, but at least we have it luckier than the original Monday Night Wars viewers that were kind of videotaping and flipping and stuff. But last night was, you know, it was a good back and
forth.
Wait,
you mean I'm not supposed to do that anymore? Like, I shouldn't be using my VCR and taping it? Like, I shouldn't do that?
You can if do you, that. If you're into antiques, you can, but
yeah, I want to trade wrestling tapes with you so bad, dude. The old days.
I don't know you that well, man. I don't know you that well.
That's not true. You know me very well at this point. We're way past trading wrestling tapes, you and I, after all these years.
But anyway,
yeah, you're right. It was a little tiring. For me personally, it works because it keeps me awake because I got a 10 o'clock show on Wednesday nights. So I was able. Yeah. All right, look. Let's get through it. Okay, so here was my approach to last night, and then we're going to get Tim's approach to last night, and we'll see what you guys and your approach. And by the way, if you haven't already, make sure you're subscribing to In This Ring on Stitcher, on iHeartRadio, on iTunes, everywhere you listen to podcasts, and give us a 5-star review because we're fun and we're awesome and we talk wrestling. And follow us on the Twitter machine at In This Ring as well while you're at it. So here was my approach. Because NXT had a couple weeks of being ahead, I wanted to watch AEW first half hour on the start, right? So I'm DVRing them both. There you go. I got the DVR all ready to go. And I watched the opening of AEW and I thought, okay, good production value. I still think the mask commentator is goofy and annoying. And then I don't get that. Tony Schiavone was back and I was like, all right, well, there you go. Tony Schiavone, look at that. There you go. Good times. And then they started talking about WCW during the thing and that pissed me off. Like that was not needed to be mentioned at all. I did not like that. I thought that was weird. And then you get Cody coming out and Sammy Guevara, and they had a good match. And Cody had soaked in all the love of all the things. And this was the moment. It was a nice moment as a wrestling fan. I enjoyed that moment immensely. And then as soon as that match was over and then the Jericho thing happened, it was good. They went to commercial in the weird box, which I thought was weird. He's the champ. This is what you're building to. And now you go to little commercial box. That was kind of weird timing. And then by the time they came back for the MJF match and the awkward announcing with the whole he likes Dungeons and Dragons, this guy, and he was the Young Bucks roommate, and like who cares, like what is this, like this is the second match we're getting on the show that
that's always the case. Following the opener, it's tough, so you
I know following the there. Opener is tough, yeah. But geez, come on, Tim, couldn't they have done something better in the second match? And after that match I went, all right, it's time to go over and see what NXT was doing at the same time, and holy crap, Riddle and Cole was gangbusters, man. So what was your approach last night? You were watching one, DVRing the other, watching on demand. How did you figure this out?
I had three screens going. I had AEW on the big screen because it's the new thing. That's why I wanted to kind of, like you said, soak up the experience. I had NXT on the computer monitor, and then I had the MLB a playoff wildcard game on the tablet. So I was kind of really ADD.
And where was your girlfriend? She was
definitely in the other room pouring wine for herself.
For herself and looking at match.com.
She's been through more than this. I think this is the tip of the iceberg.
God bless her. She's a good woman.
Yeah, she's wonderful. And she's patient. I'll give her that. But yeah, I think I wanted to see that first couple of minutes with Cody. I think he earned it. He deserved the little pop.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I love Tony Schiavone. I'm actually was really happy to hear him call wrestling again. I think he gives a nice official voice to this whole thing. I'm intrigued to see how he and JR are going to play out in the long term. I think they might trip over each other a little bit too much because they're both the same role. I love Cody and Sammy. I think Sammy's got potential. Sammy Guevara, not Sammy Zayn that we talk about on the show all the time. And yeah, definitely had to go back and piece together what I didn't watch live this morning, and I guess we'll get to more of that here. But yeah, definitely want to see AEW first
impressions. Like that, I'm like trying to get the first impressions.
Exactly.
And I think there's a base of people that are so anti WWE or anti whatever, and so pro AEW, the you know the Bullet Club marks out there, and they can do no wrong. And they were going to love this no matter what. And I think if you were just coming into both of these shows completely flat and just saying, okay, I have no idea who either of these people are. And I understand one's been running for a while and I understand one's new. I get it. Even taking that into account, once I started watching NXT, I watched the whole thing. I didn't go back to AEW until after. And then I watched it on demand afterwards. On the DVR afterwards, I watched it. And I just was, NXT captured me. It captivated me. Marlo Ranallo, who, by the way, I can die happy. I tweeted at Marlo Ranallo. Not only did he like the tweet, he replied and retweeted it. And then I wrote back to him, and then he replied again, and he liked it and retweeted it. And I don't know what to say, except that's it. Like, I'm fulfilled. I am now officially fulfilled in life because Marlo Ranallo and I had a moment last night, and it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. But he brings such an energy level to that show. And the Cole Riddle match, first of all, was brilliant. I thought that was takeover worthy. And I feel like they knew they had to have a takeover worthy match. I thought it took a lot of balls to say, screw it. We're going to put this up front first. And if you missed it, you're going to be pissed that you watched AEW. And I thought that was brilliant. And I was pissed because, man, like, oh, that match was good. But I could have been watching this the whole time. I was effing pissed. And I said, well, I'm not leaving because I don't want to miss something else. And I'm glad I didn't, because at the end of that match, what do you get? Finn Balor returning. So let's talk about that. Finn Balor back on NXT. I did not see this coming. I thought it was great. What do you think, Tim Heaney?
Well, first of all, I will jump in and say it was definitely diabolical and brilliant of Triple H to kind of follow the format that AEW was going to go with. You know, put the men's first match first and with the championship there, and put the women's title matches up, you know, concurrently, and then put the main event with the big tag match at the end with the surprise that we'll get to later afterwards. But, you know, they programmed it really well to really make you question which one you want to watch. And Cole Riddle was spectacular. Not going to lie.
Spectacular. Yeah. It really was. And Adam Cole, man, every time I watch that guy work, I just get more and more impressed. And I didn't think it's possible.
Yeah.
But it was just freaking awesome. And I think this is a great move there for Balor. Not just for the company. He can go there and be a stud and help get this off the ground for the next 4 months. Then have a run with the title if they want to do that. And then at some point, you know, by that time, he could be in the Royal Rumble again and show up, and he could take on The Fiend at WrestleMania, and you can run that program if you want. And then The Demon and The Fiend, which I think is what everybody wants, and they're going to work towards at some point. But that's going to be very exciting, and I think this is the perfect place to kind of restart Finn Balor. He needs a restart. Would you say he's the greatest NXT champion? I think I can say that comfortably, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I
think the most popular. Can we say the most popular one?
Probably. Yeah, I think at this point the most popular. I think that Cole can get there. I think Ciampa can get there. Gargano hasn't had it long enough, but I think he'll be back in there eventually. And it's gonna be like those four really the top ones, and then Nakamura below that, and maybe Joe, I guess. But yeah, I think that Balor, even if he goes after the North American title, I don't view it as a demotion for him. I think he's got the makeup to really make this happen. And you know, like you said, if they're elevating this to its own promotion, it's not like a demotion to go to NXT anymore. So it makes a lot of sense to have him there.
All right. So that was like the first salvo of the opening shots of both of these companies.
Cannon fodder. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And honestly, round one went to NXT. I'm sorry.
Of course.
Like, the feel-good story was great and all. Give me the in-ring work, the surprise, the Finn Balor thing, and we'll get to more surprises later on. There was a good one. There was a great one, and then one that was freaking hilarious to me. But we'll move on.
Yeah.
Let's go with AEW and the rest of the show. You know, my big concern, and I voiced it here with you, we've talked about it with our friends here on the show who've come on the show and talked with us, is the thin mid-card there. And also the fact that that's going to show up sooner than later. And I feel like it showed up already a little bit. I also thought it was weird that Chris Jericho's champion, after he beats up Cody, which was fun, took the selfie, the whole thing that was with us with a real camera, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, I'm going to steal your real camera and take a selfie with it.
It's a good heel move. Yeah,
it was. It was great. And then he gets up on the top and you're waiting for the promo. You're waiting for the, and all he says is, I'm Chris Jericho. I'm Le Champion. And then that's, I'm like, that's it. Like, that's where we're going. This is the whole, we're going to let, you know, here's the funny thing. Everyone's like, oh, the structure's killing me. The structure's killing me. The structure's killing me. Then when you give everybody free reign, sometimes it falls flat because they don't have any structure. And yeah, it feels more in the moment, but that doesn't make it better necessarily. And
well, go ahead.
I don't know, Tim, how do you feel about everybody just kind of saying what they want whenever they get on the microphone there?
I will say that Jericho did have a good post-match video online about
how he's teasing,
oh, you'll get it next week, which is nice for a product that needs to push the interest in the coming weeks to really
it's fine, but
you got to really manage that. If you free reign should really still be bullet points and make sure you say at least these five words in there. I'm with you. I think it needs to be managed freedom more than complete freedom.
And look, so. the funny thing was I don't want to say botches because it wasn't that bad, but there were some missed moments in the first match with Cody and Sammy.
Yes.
There were some missed moments in the second match. There were some missed moments in the Paige and Pac match. Just a couple, not big ones, not oh my God, but maybe it was a little nerves. I don't know. Maybe it's, Could be, you know, people working together or stuff like that or less familiar. Whatever it is, it was not a flawless show by any stretch of the means. I'm not trying to hammer it. Look, I want everybody to understand. I'm excited about it. I want to watch it. I want this to succeed. I'm Mr. Independent Sports Guy. I want it to be great. I'm not just going to sit here and anoint it as great if it's not. And before it even premieres, like a lot of people wanted to do, because I think that's freaking stupid. So if I'm sounding negative, I'm not. I'm just trying to be realistic about it. I'm not getting paid by anybody. So these are my legitimate thoughts. I'd love to be getting paid. What'd you think of Jay and Silent Bob in the front row? How'd that suit you?
I think it was a necessary pop culture crossover for the first episode. I think it got a little more attention.
My love for
there.
You is ticking, so. Clock berserk. Berserk.
I wish he was there. That'd be phenomenal. But
that would be great, man. That's you should sing your theme song.
I did like how Kevin Smith says, "Oh, he plays a bad guy in our movie too." It was kind of like dropping a little fourth wall there, but whatever.
Yeah,
it's fine.
All right, the women's match I thought was okay.
It was fine.
It was fine. I mean, it wasn't anything special. I got to be honest with you. I don't see either of those as being the champ that you wanted to start or build around necessarily. No. I didn't get that at all. Thought that was weird. Is Britt Baker hurt? Is that why she's on commentary during that match?
Well, apparently she got a concussion from Bea Priestley a bunch of
months ago. So that's the answer to that question of why it ended up being what it was. But I don't know, man. Let me tell you something. I know
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying they know they're keen on trying to get this women's division off the ground, but I don't think it got off to a flying start last night.
That's the biggest gulf between NXT and AEW for me. Even more than the mid-card, just the women's division in general. The women at NXT are so polished. The training's great, of course. Oh, having Sarah Del Rey training you is always going to be an advantage.
Dude, let me tell you, Shayna and Jin and Candace I thought was terrific last night.
Good transition back to that, but I agree. It was the best match I watched of any of them live in full until I watched the Cole Riddle match on replay, but the Shayna Candace is just a great story for one, and they have awesome chemistry. So
yeah, and I really thought they might put Candace over on that. Yeah, and then they didn't again, and they just they just keep building this monster. So maybe you'll get an Oscar return. Maybe you'll get the Oscar to return and fight
what
her.
I tweeted last night. Yep.
Yeah. You know what? And you're right. You're right on there. Let's go through. I mean, Paige and Pac was my favorite match of the night. Personally, because I just like Neville. Like
from AEW or overall?
No.
I was gonna say
Cole and Riddle, the first half hour put everything else to shame, and you knew it was all gonna be downhill after that. And I thought it was just brilliant because even though it didn't have enough eyes on it, probably there were more eyes in the opening of AEW. I guarantee when people flipped over and realized they missed that and missed Finn Balor, they got pissed. And next week, the last thing you want to do is miss the opening of NXT. Mm-hmm. And that was genius. And even if it didn't get into eyeballs, I guarantee you it got more discussion points. They can trend on what they want, you know?
$5 Ciampa opens next week with a mic.
Cool. And we'll get to that in a second. So let's
sorry,
get to
I blew the surprise, but whatever. It's fine.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, if you're
listening,
a wrestling fan and you're watching this show, or listening to this show, I should say, we really should do it on TV from now on. We should just get our own TV show. Huh. Me and Tim Heaney talking wrestling. I mean, somebody out there make this happen. Let's go. So you had Santana and Ortiz, my apologies, against Jericho. And of course, it was
Young Bucks six man. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And of course, against the elite. And, you know, it's always nice to see Kenny out there. I love watching Kenny work. And Kenny, he's certainly in that conversation of the best workers on the planet. He absolutely is. And you could tell when he goes out there, it's different. It's just, it was different. It was hot. He was very good. And then of course you had Moxley show up and that whole thing. And then, you know, he put him through the glass table that was clearly going to be a fake glass table, but it was still good nonetheless. And it's funny. I almost, in a way, I want to be real careful. I feel like the sin so far of AEW has been not protecting Kenny Omega enough. And I think it's to his credit and to his detriment, because I feel like he's saying, no, I got to put people over to make this thing work. But I think he's the one guy that should go over the most because he's the best asset they have.
They're saving his title run for like their, for the, maybe next year's All Out is what I'm, or All In, whichever one is all what I'm guessing. So they want to have him really take this road of redemption when he loses so much in the coming months.
But don't you run the risk of kind of losing before you start then? Puts a lot of pressure on everybody else.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, I think that, you know, we talk about how wins and losses don't matter. I'm guessing they're hoping that Omega's ring work will make up for all that.
Well, it does, but I don't know if it's going that. The problem is you're trying to push a product and it's entertainment. And if he's not the guy, or he's brilliant in the ring, but he always loses. That's a bit of a problem from a booking standpoint. I think that's a problem when you're trying to grow a promotion. Meanwhile, there's Cody who's winning all the time.
I don't think Cody's beating Jericho for the title, but
no, he's not beating Jericho, but because that definitely doesn't make sense either. I'm not saying Jericho can't hold this and be the guy. He can. No, I'm enjoying the fat Elvis stage of Chris Jericho's career. You know, that's
the bubbly stage. Yes,
the bubbly. Too much of the. I like the shirt. The shirt's great. But he's really not in the best shape. Let's be honest. Like, definitely the fat Elvis Jericho.
Shirts are helpful. So,
all right. So let's go to the end. The big reveal. The big oh my god moment. You know,
we're
going to build this on us. We're going to build this on us, not a bunch of castaway WWE rejects that never broke through because they just weren't able to break through. And who do you have? Jake Hager, a.k.a. Jack Swagger. That's it? That's the big freaking reveal? Oh, my God. Wow. Like, if that's supposed to be a big deal in the melee at the end of this match, like, I'm supposed to, like, pop and get crazy because Jack Swagger showed up? We, the people, are not impressed. Sorry.
Despite the chant being done last night by the fans, but yeah.
Yeah, which was fun.
Which is worse for AEW because it reminds people of WWE. So
that was good or bad, you thought?
It was bad, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's good that they recognized him at least.
That's a good point.
But isn't this the whole point? The whole point is, no, we are not going to be built on the back of a bunch of WWE castaways and failures. And the first thing out of the gate, that's the dude. Like, if you want to bring that dude in on the first pay-per-view, okay, that's fine. But not on the first show. Because to me, you just sent the message to me that, hey, we didn't have enough to make this. We needed a big pop at the end, and we weren't enough. And the best we could do is that guy. Are you kidding me? That's the best you could do?
Look at where they're positioning him, though. They're not making him the next big thing. They're making him Jericho's muscle, which I think I'm okay with. As long as he doesn't talk, get him in the ring, I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with that. By the way, I thought it was really funny that they stuck Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash in the front row of NXT last night. Is just kind of like big middle finger to the whole, like, hey, remember we won the war?
Yeah, exactly. You won a war?
You got it. Mwah, delicious. It was so good. I love that. It's the little things. It's the little things like that I just absolutely love. So I don't know, man. That to me, I thought the show was actually getting better in the second hour. I did, because I thought the Neville match was good. I'm sorry. I hate calling him Pac. It's a stupid name.
Adrian, you can call him Adrian. Maybe.
There you go. Call him Adrian. I'm gonna call him the Bastard because I like that.
That's a great element to the name. Yeah.
Yeah. Pack the Bastard is like, well, that sounds weird.
The Bastard Pack.
Yeah. The Bastard Pack. The Bastard Pack. What? Anyway, it was getting better, and then Kenny in the ring is always better, and then Moxley shows up. Okay, that's fun. All that.
No DQ though. That was funny.
I thought it was a down ending, and then you're telling me that's what you're. And then, of course, NXT being the dick that it is, of course, goes an extra 15 minutes so that if you missed, you would flip back over and go, oh, it's still going. And I didn't realize that at first. I don't know if you realized it.
I did. Well, Morrow said, oh, by the way, I've been alerted. We're just going to wait with this until it ends. Wink, wink. But
yeah. Well, all I know is I didn't even anticipate that. And I see them still going at 10:15. And I'm like, what's going on? And like, well, look at this. Yeah. Look at this. Look what they give us. But let's go through the rest of NXT because it was very good. Cole Riddle, if you haven't watched it, if you missed it, run to the TV. Mm-hmm. It was a great match. And I thought I was really proud that they booked it with a clean finish because Adam Cole had a lot of schmazzy kind of gets over with his boys kind of thing. This was important because this is how you establish a great champion.
Do you call using the cast the cleanest finish? I think it's cleaner than most.
Clean heel finish.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah.
And that's great. That's good wrestling. Yep. Finn Balor was brilliant. I was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely love that. So good. Io Shirai versus Mia Yim was fine.
Nice.
I love the Io character. I mean, I'll tell you what. I would rather watch Io and Mia Yim than any women in AEW. I can tell you that right.
That's not saying anything shocking.
I know, but now they are presented as mid-card women, and the mid-card women are better than the top women at AEW, and they better watch their ass when it comes to that.
Well, Io might be the best women's wrestler in the world, so there's that. So,
well, she's much better since she turned too. It's really helped her.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They need to get Sadie Gibbs in there soon because Sadie Gibbs can really go.
She's good. I like her.
But she's athletic and fun to watch, and she's got chutzpah. She's got whatever that thing is. She's got it.
Well, she's like a power lifter. She can do the similar things that somebody else can do.
Shane Thorne, I thought, was excellent.
Yes, Shane Thorne's nice emergence for him as a singles competitor. Really nice.
See, and this is right away the difference, right? So after the big match, oh my God, we start with a title match. You go to Io, who's awesome, and then you go to Gargano and Thorne, and you see, oh my God, this roster's so deep, and you haven't even gotten to the Keith Lees this week or the Dijaks or any of those dudes. And a good outing for Shane Thorne, even though he gets the L.
Yeah, to be good expected. Yeah.
Good build with that. I like this. They could even continue that for all I care. And I'm fine with it. I'm actually good with
he
that.
Was, Shayna, I mean, Nick, Mil- we don't miss Nick Miller. So it's fine.
No, it's fine. I don't miss it. I don't know. I don't know. Shayna Baszler, Candice LeRae. Excellent. Excellent match. Great finish. Yep. Terrific finish. Got me. And I keep saying all the time, every time Shayna Baszler goes out there, I think she gets better and better. And I don't know, man. I don't even know if it's possible sometimes. I feel like every time. Because she gives the illusion that she's in trouble. And I feel like for a wrestler or an athlete, as strong as she is, that's a difficult thing. So good on her, man. She really knows how to bring it. Any other thoughts from that match?
No, I'm saying you think she's in such control because she is an expert at that, those holes and stuff like that. Then it does take a lot to sell when you have that dominant profile. And just even to let Candice and Kyrie and Io really get a lot of work in, That's a testament to her as a performer. I think she does a great job with that. Her real combat actually comes into combat training. You know, I'm sure you appreciate that part of it.
The funny part is not everybody can do that.
Right.
But she can, and I think it's good on her, man. She really
the women. Yeah, go ahead.
She's terrific. No, I mean she's terrific, and you could just build her as a beast forever, and it's never going to get old for me.
And that women's number one contender picture. I don't care how long they keep it. Just let them bash each other. And let Shayna kind of run with this as long as you want until you're really ready to anoint that next champion.
The next champ, who would you anoint?
I would like to have Io do it in a triple threat, and then play out Io Candice for a while. But I could see Candice doing it. Bianca, I think, still needs a little more time to polish things.
I think Bianca's going to be absolutely huge when she gets all of it together, though.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
She's a beast, man. She is awesome. And that's another one too. Every time I see her, she gets better. For the early part, like the first year or so, it was like just sheer athleticism. But now you start to see her working better in the ring. You start to see better psychology, better selling, better all around work. Where is it not just the raw athleticism, but her raw athleticism and strength is off the chart. Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch. Mm-hmm. Also fun. You know, Pete Dunne comes up and for a lot of people who aren't familiar, who just watched WWE and then checked out this guy, like, what the hell is that guy? He looks like kind of like crazy leftover cast member of Game of Thrones that they didn't tell that the series ended. Like, that's what he looks like. He looks like an insane human being, and it was fun.
His watch has not ended yet, apparently.
And then last, you have the Street Profits and Undisputed Era, which we all knew how it was going to end, but then you get Tommaso Ciampa returning, which was just great. So now you've got Finn Balor and Adam Cole. You've got Ciampa. You've got all these different ends. All of a sudden, the Undisputed Era has some real threats around them. And I'm excited for next week. Like, I can't wait to see next week, whereas I'm interested to see what AEW does next week, but I can't wait to see what NXT does with that. And I enjoyed it so much more than Raw. I can't even tell you.
Oh, God. Oh, well.
We'll get to that in a minute. But so the last couple matches here and the Ciampa return, what are your thoughts there?
Very nice. The Ciampa was my biggest pop of the night. I mean, I thought in the back of my mind it could happen, but I didn't know how ready he was. He might still not be ready. They might just kind of have it as him looming for the next few months, which they could do. It'll work. He's a great character worker, so it'll help. That's going to be a fun picture around Cole, Balor, and him, and I guess others. Maybe Gargano kind of chimes in as like a contender somehow. The other ones before that.
I think you could even do a whole Balor and Ciampa program to get to Adam Cole, and that would work too. Protect Adam Cole a little bit. Give him somebody else. Feed him somebody else who's good, but you're not ready to push to the moon, but people really like and a good worker. Like I'm trying to think like who fits that bill. It can't be somebody who can't be Damian Priest, which by the way, that was good too.
Good interference there. Helped.
Yeah. Really good there with him. I love the arrow shooting. I'm a big fan of that. There's gotta be somebody else there that we're just not thinking of off the top of our head from a roster standpoint that they can do that. And look, you also saw Leo Rush returning to face Gulak, which will be
next
great.
Week. Yeah, will be good.
Leo Rush should be there. That's going to be a fun match. Kushida and Walter and all that. There's a lot of
Tegan
good things.
Tegan Knox, I think, might be next week too, but maybe. They had a video package for her. That was good.
You know, Killian Dane, you might be able to feed Killian Dane to Adam Cole.
That
would be good. Because he had a pretty good showing there with Riddle, and Riddle lost, so now you can pump Killian Dane up a little bit and make that work. I'm good.
Yeah,
with
you
that.
Don't somebody you don't want to ruin yet. You got to do that too.
Well, somebody that you don't have long term aspirations for, but in the interim can get it done. You could have a little run from that guy from the Forgotten Sons, which is named Jackson Riker. Maybe run him a little bit for a little while and have them go against Undisputed Era. You know,
only Larkin would be good for that.
Yeah, well, look, Larkin and Burch are the guys. Look, they're never going to be stars. They're just going to always go out there and have
it's work rate.
Great. Great matches. That's what they're going to have. So, but overall, it wasn't close. AEW was better than Impact, but nowhere near NXT. Sorry.
That's true.
Not. And it's not to say that they don't have talent that can match, but it's thin. It's razor thin, I think, in that sense. Now, granted, maybe they're going to build up the Darby Allins of the world, and maybe MJF is more than just Miz after his bar mitzvah money came through. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like,
hey, it's a nice scarf, like, man. Leave him alone. It's that Burberry scarf.
It's a nice scarf. I like him, but I'm not sold yet. I'm not sold that he's the savior of the future of that company. I know he's super, super young, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It's good that they're there. I think I could feel on the internet this morning and last night, the AEW marks overcompensating and about how good it was. And you could tell they didn't really believe it deep down. Like they knew it was good, but they were pushing it like it was great. And you could tell by the things that were being said or the lame defenses when people would attack what wasn't that great about it. Mm-hmm. That they knew deep down that it was good. It's good. And look, I want it to succeed. I really do. I really do. I think it's great, but whatever. Let's go to Raw so we can get depressed again. So Raw, I just want to start at the end. Can we talk about the end? Because not so much the Fiend ending, but let's talk about Bobby Lashley's return. So Rusev is having a match with Seth Rollins for whatever reason that ended up happening. And then Bobby Lashley returns, and where's Lana? Turns out she's left Rusev for Bobby Lashley, and then uncomfortably makes out with him for the next 6 minutes on screen, which was interesting.
They should have just changed the rating of the show for that scene, because it was. I'm not a prude, but that was wow. I was a little.
No, much. I'm not either. It was just it felt like they just needed to stretch for time.
You're probably right.
Like, just keep making out.
Stick your tongue further down.
5 more minutes. Good shit. Oh, but anyway, I thought that was weird. Other than that, you did get a couple good matches in here. Cesaro and Ricochet, fantastic finish.
Nice. Yep.
Great job there. Yeah, match was good. Finish was fantastic. And then I thought AJ and Cedric had a absolute wonderful match there. I thought that was terrific. I love this program. Let it keep going. I'm all for it. And we'll see how they build up. So that was solid. I like the new set. I'm sad that Tom Phillips doesn't have a job. Why? Where is he? Why doesn't
he? I think he's producing right now. Okay. I think they're kind of keeping him in the wings, I think. I'm not sure about the King, how long Jerry Lawler is going to be on broadcast. I like Vic Joseph, though. I think Joseph's a nice ad.
He's a commentary guy. So it's not like you can have Tom Phillips in the color commentary. And the other guy who I'm unfamiliar with, Dio Madden. Yep. Was there. Like, I'm not going to look. I know how hard it is early broadcasts to find chemistry with people. I've done it so many times in my life with so many different people for the last decade. Mm-hmm. So I am not going to hammer him at all, because it takes a while for any trio, especially a trio that bizarre put together, thrown together that way, to find its way. So give them time. I like the new set. I like Pyro. I like Vic Joseph. I didn't mind Jerry Lawler not having to listen to Corey Graves and Michael Cole twice a week. Is heaven. So I'm all for that. Other than that, it was Firefly Funhouse and it was those two matches, and Raw other than that was kind of just blah for me.
What'd you think of the Flair Hogan stuff?
Pandering, but whatever. I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to give me Ric Flair on television, I'm always happy. And Ric Flair was Ric Flair. Like, Flair was inappropriate. You could tell was going off script and then being Ric Flair. So I'm enjoying that. Team Flair, Team Hogan, whatever, Saudi Arabia. I think it's a cool idea. It is a cool idea. Well, it also protects the champ. Like, if Seth Rollins is champion still, which I doubt, but whatever that is, it protects these guys by doing the big star matches in a cluster in a Survivor Series style or whatever it is. It protects everybody.
I agree. Yep.
So it was good from that standpoint.
So Brock and Ray and Dominic, that was fun.
You know what? That was pretty good too. Well, yeah. I'll throw that a shout out too. That was pretty good. Where Brock Lesnar, boy, I'll give Dominic credit, man. He took an ass kicking. Whew.
Dude, those bumps, I cringed.
Yeah,
I mean, good for him if he's okay.
Good for you. Good for you. How's that? How's that liquid diet
cervical stuff going on? Oh God.
Yeah, it was. Whew, wow. So anyway, we got SmackDown Friday night live. The Rock's gonna be there.
Interesting.
Do you believe any of these stupid CM Punk rumblings? Because I don't for a second.
Well, I think he actually confirmed that he talked backstage with them, if I'm not mistaken, but that's or AEW backstage. I'm not sure about WWE. I mean,
yeah, well, look,
they don't need him. They don't need him.
Look, if they had brought CM Punk back, that would have been a thing right now. But when people have that weird expectation, whoever floated that rumor did them a disservice. Mm-hmm. Because in your mind, if you're waiting for somebody, it's CM Punk. And when you don't get CM Punk and you get Jack Swagger instead, sorry. Like, that is a huge downgrade. Like, bad. It's bad news. But SmackDown, you're going to get, more of the same. You're going to get Brock Lesnar hopefully winning the championship and hopefully Shane McMahon disappearing from the earth. So that would be good. So that's that's what I'm hoping for this Christmas. What are you looking forward to, Tim, on SmackDown?
I'm definitely interested in both two matches. I hope KO wins too. I think they need to change that direction. Kofi Brock, I mean, there's rumblings that this might be a setup for Cain Velasquez to interfere with Brock Lesnar and set up a match for later and have Kofi retain through nefarious means. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think Brock should be champ heading into, like you said, a big Fox broadcasted show now. Brock Lesnar's a familiarity with the sports people, you know, MMA, UFC will. Sure. Bring more eyes to things. So
yeah, Brock Lesnar being champ is good as long as Brock Lesnar is on TV. That's all. That's it. Yep. It's a very simple equation. He has to be on TV. And you know what? Brock Lesnar has built himself up with the Daniel Bryan match, with the AJ Styles match, with the Seth Rollins match, where I am okay with Brock Lesnar again, where he was willing to have good matches, actually work, actually show up, do good things. Everybody knows I like seeing Paul Heyman. So overall, look, I'm excited to see what they do. Now, this is a 3-hour show or 2 hours? I forget now.
I think it's two.
All right. I don't know if it goes to three or not, but the two is good. Two is where it should be. That's what I want. I want the two. They're doing the pre-show too with Renee at 7:30. So that'll be interesting to see.
Renee back in a real sports broadcasting role is great. So
which is right, which is where she belongs. She's very good at what she does, but commentary was tough. So look, all in all, it's been an exciting week. It's still going. Plus, you got, I mean, we'd like to sit here and preview Hell in a Cell, but I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what's going to happen there, except The Fiend is going to be wrestling Seth Rollins, and I guess that's all that matters at the end of the day, right?
Nah, Becky Lynch Sasha's going to be nice.
Well, Becky Sasha. Look, you've got two matches, and that's honestly all you need are those two matches. So I expect two new champions when that's over. What do you expect? Like, when we come back to next week, I expect Becky Lynch not to have the belt anymore, which, by the way, I know there's the rumblings of, well, Becky Lynch is the biggest star, how you take the belt off of her. I think you make her chase. I really do.
The money's in the chase. Yep.
Money's in the chase. Look at that. Ah. Oh. It doesn't get any deeper than that. Okay. That's why you're here. All right. You can follow him.
I'll say it's going to be a bad weekend for the couple. Good thing they just got engaged. So.
That's perfect. Yeah. They've got to now come from behind. And yeah, that's good. Look at you. So good, Tim. That's why you get the medium bucks. I'm telling you. You really do. All right. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Team Heaney. You can follow me at Joe Pisa, PS17. Check out all the great content at InThisLeague.com. And remember, go and rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe to In This Ring Wrestling Podcast because we are awesome. We are fun. And that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week to recap Hell in a Cell and more Wednesday Night Wars and everything else you could possibly imagine. For Tim Heaney, I'm Joe Pisapia. Remember, kids, to be the men, you got to beat the men in Saudi Arabia. And we are the men.